Thank you, Miss Denise. Thank you, Brother Richard, for stepping up, and Ms. Clancy in the back, and as always and everything. Thank you, Miss Chastity, for being used of the Lord and everything, and just thinking about the new year. You know what we have to face and everything, and what we're gonna face. No matter what we face, is already said already, and it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. You know, it's been a rough year. You know, and I just was sitting there just a minute, and this isn't part of the message, but it was kind of like just a verse that came to my mind. We're talking about the things that we learned over the past year, the things that were history, and we look over at the children of Israel, and we're going to talk about them here a little bit in the message and everything, and a lot of times in everything, what we remember about the children of Israel and everything is they traveled from here, or they were in captivity here, or they were in bondage here. We hear about all that. We think about the negative things that they went through. But not one time was there ever a time that God didn't deliver them. You know, we need to remember that. We've been through a tough time. We've had a rough year. But here we are in 2021. Our God is still on the throne. Our God has delivered us, and now we're ready to face the next day. One day at a time, one step at a time. Sometimes it's moment by moment, faith. We just need to trust in the Lord. And again, we're going to probably start off a little bit on the negative side. The verse that I brought to mind was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be in Isaiah here in just a little bit. But Isaiah, you don't have to stand for this one. Just listen to this one with me. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents." Verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them were murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer." And verse 11, we're talking about the children of Israel here. He says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Why does God put all that history in here? Why did God say all these things about Israel? Why did God give it? It's for our admonition. It's so we can learn from it. How many of you say, like with me, I'm sure glad my life's not in here. All my failures, all my trials, all the times that I failed God. I mean, I might have got it right every now and then, but I probably won out of 100. Probably got more things wrong than I've gotten right in my lifetime. So it's not to be too hard on the children of Israel as we study them this morning. And look at the word there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and you can stand with me when you get there. What can we learn from this? Another question to ponder as we go into God's word is, what are you expecting of God today? Did you come expecting anything of God? If you didn't come expecting anything, guess what you're going to leave with? What you expect of God is what you're going to get. Do you trust Him? Do you know He loves you? God's got something for you this morning. I implore you now, even to, as we pray and as we look into God's Word, that you come expecting. Father, we love you and praise you, dear God, Lord, for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your holy Word. Lord, dear God, Lord, we thank you, dear God, even for the examples in your word, dear God, Lord, to make our lives better, dear God, Lord, to help us to avoid some of the pitfalls and, Lord, even some of the failures that we've had, Lord, that we can get through them. Lord, the rough times that we face, Lord, we do thank you, dear God, Lord, that you've never vacated your throne. Lord, you're still in charge. Lord, you still have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us individually, collectively as Beckwith Baptist Church. And even as this country we call America, dear God, Lord, and we just pray even now, Lord, just teach us. Give us teachable hearts, dear God, Lord. Lord, take me completely out of the way, Father, Lord, dear God. It would be you speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 8. "Now go, write it before the people, note it in a book, that it may be the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that would not hear the law of the Lord, would say to the seers, those are the spiritual seers, those are those, like I think of Daniel and I think of Joseph and everything, interpreter of dreams. He says, would say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophecy deceits. What do we see that today going on? That kind of preaching. Tell them what they want to hear. Get you out of the way, verse 11. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out of a high wall, who breaketh cometh suddenly at an instant. Verse 14, and he shall break its breaking of the potter's vessel, and its broken that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God of Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they pursue you to be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and an ensign or an example on the hill. Excuse me, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. What's that word say? Who's going to wait? The Lord. You know, we've been waiting. The Bible talks about waiting on Him. Shall mount up with wings as eagles, those that wait upon the Lord. You know, we need to wait upon the Lord and everything. Where the word is that expect God. But what is this Bible, what's this passage here saying? The Lord is doing what? He's waiting on us. God expects us to do something. God expects some things about us, and we're going to look at those this morning. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. Thank you, dear Lord, for his grace and mercy. You may be seated. He's a God of judgment. What were these people saying? Don't preach to us that hard stuff. Preach the good stuff. Preach the stuff that makes us feel better about ourselves. Be an encourager. Lift each other up. And there is a time and a place for that. But sometimes there's times that the rubber needs to hit the road. There's some things we need to get real about. This church needs to run 200-300 people. Why not? Why do we have to the choices we have and everything in our nation? We were once a Christian nation. I'm going to be honest with you and everything. I don't believe we're a Christian nation anymore. I believe we're a nation of Christians. I think we were founded on Christian principles and out of the Bible when the forefathers set the things in order, our Constitution. I believe there was a time and a place that we were a Christian nation. And what I mean by that is I don't think we're in the majority anymore. But we still serve a God. We still serve the same God that was real back with our forefathers. He's the same God today. And there is something we need to realize. God's waiting on us. God's waiting on us to do some things. And we're going to look at there's three things here in just a little bit. God's waiting on us. We started the new year. You know, it could be any day of the week. God is a God of second chances. God is a God of mercy. What do these people deserve? They're looking at God's prophet and everything, and they said, don't preach us this stuff anymore. We don't want to hear that good word. Don't bring us before the God of Israel. They didn't want anything to do with God. What could God done to them? What had God done in the past? There was many times and everything that he told Moses, he said, I'm going to make a new nation out of you. Your family, take you aside and destroy the rest of them. And Moses pleaded with the Lord, and God spared him because of his mercy and his grace. Here's a rebellious people. He calls them a rebellious people. And what's going on here? God says, I'm going to wait. Instead of casting judgment upon them, instead of pulling down the strongholds, he says they're like a wall about to burst. Here's the judgment of God. Think of a dam that's holding back the flood waters. And that dam begins to crack. And it begins to bulge. It begins to weaken. And God says, here comes the judgment. Here comes the judgment upon men. And every bit of the things that he mentions here and everything, we deserve God's judgment. Beckwith Baptist Church deserves God's judgment. America deserves God's judgment. We as individuals deserve God's judgment. What's 1 Peter say? God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's one of the first things we want to talk about this morning is repentance. We serve a God of second chances and new beginnings. New Year's is a secular holiday, but it's also a time for us to reflect on the past and the changes that we've gone through. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, the treadmill stops at a new beginning. But we can have a new beginning today. Every time we fail, we can repent and have a new beginning. We don't have to wait to a secular holiday celebrating New Year's. You want to have a better year? Begin right now. We can't do anything about our past, but we can start right now and have a new future. Things can get better for us. You know, we can choose to get better or we can choose to be bitter. Our first reading today, the prophet Isaiah, again, is preaching God's word. It's 740 years before the birth of Christ. Or as the secular world calls it, before the common era. In some of the verses immediately preceding our reading, Isaiah speaking the truth in love, in 8 through 14, calls the people a rebellious people, unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. He calls them lying children. Paraphrasing in verses 10 through 11, he says, the people are trying to silence the prophets. They're screaming, give us no more visions of that which is right to do. Tell us the pleasant things. Give us prophecy illustrations and illusions. Verse 30, verse 10 says, leave this way, get off the path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. So here we see again, 2,700 years later, sounding very familiar, right here in America, a country that doesn't want to have anything to do with God anymore. Let's change history. Let's change this, pull down the statues. Let's pull down the monuments. Let's change the Constitution, and believe me or not, that's coming. The way our country's headed, our Constitution could be changing very soon. Things we would have never thought of 10 or 15 years ago that are happening. And he says, stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Do we hear that today? Stop judging me. You're judging me. Anybody ever hear that? Try to talk to somebody about the Lord and they say, you're judging me. Kind of like talk to the hand. I don't want to hear it. Well, it's not us that are judging them. It's not my judgment that you need to be worried about, sir. There's coming a judgment. You see that dam over there? It's about to breach. God's about to pour his judgment down on this earth. But he's waiting. But he's waiting. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. Sadly, many churches now are listening to the people of this world. They're not judging. They're listening. They're not bringing them to the Lord. Why are Christians outnumbered now? Why are we outnumbered? How about soul winning? When's the last time we led somebody to the Lord? When's the last time someone got saved? Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. At verse 18 starts off, says, Jesus speaking, he says, I've been given all power. Let me ask you something. Has Jesus relinquished that power? He says, because he's received all the power, he says, go ye. Go ye. That's you. That's me. Go ye into all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8. But ye, that's that same ye, that's who's that? That's me and you. Talking to the disciples there, but it applies right back to us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. I believe Jesus still has power today. That same power that was given to him. He hasn't changed. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. I believe the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt within us. He's still a part of our lives today. So the power's there. The authority is there. But God's still waiting on us. It's not us waiting on God. God, what are you going to do? God, how did you get us in this mess? Where's the problem? Right back here. God's still waiting. He's long-suffering. You know, we pray, and I've prayed this prayer, is, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come get us. Sound that trumpet. But I'm sure he didn't sound it before I got saved. Because he was long-suffering toward me. And the moment you got saved, he was long-suffering toward you. He doesn't want any to perish. What a God of mercy. What a God of grace. But he's waiting on us as his people. God has not forsaken us, but the church has forsaken God. We're not witnessing like we need to. We're not teaching like we need to. We're not reaching out to the lost as we should be. You know, there's many that claim to be Christians, but there's only a few that are living like it. You know, later this month, we're going to be hearing a State of the Union from our president, whoever that may be. Sometimes these can be entertaining. Everyone's all smiles. The president makes his points. Certain factions applaud or stand showing their agreement. Others remain stoic in disagreement. They put on a show. Everybody in leadership, who is anybody, is attending. Imagine this. Isaiah given the State of the Union. Same Isaiah that's preaching this message to our assembled leaders and nation instead of the president. Wonder how many smiles would be out there. Wonder how much applauding would be going on. Who would stand with him and support what he's saying? And who would remain stoic? What if Isaiah was standing right here in this pulpit this morning? Would God's word afflict us or would it comfort us? Would we be reassured or called to repentance? What would God say? He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. If a line was drawn in the sand this morning, what side would we be on? One preacher said it this way, if they were arresting Christians today, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Do people know you're a Christian? Are you living like a saved person? When's the last time we told someone about Jesus? Our nation as a whole is shameless and promotes homosexual agenda, celebrating public sin. It boldly states, stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. It boldly states, we do not care about what God says. We will decide what's right for us ourselves.